tonight is Meet Me at the Diner, and yes, we have a new time slot right here, 4 to 5 in the afternoon. We are going to start a new show after this. It's called Happy Hour. But we're not going to start it today, folks. We're trying to get all these satellites and all these receivers and everything hooked up to give us a full program schedule. So Happy Hour will begin, I guess, tomorrow. And, of course, we will be doing Meet Me at the Diner every day, Monday through Thursday, because on Friday it is Giveaway Friday. So that's what we're going to be doing now, 4 to 5. 5 to 6 will be Happy Hour. What will Happy Hour be? Well, it's going to be a little good music. It's going to be a little bit about what's going on. What else is it going to cover? Oh, yeah, maybe a few of my opinions. We'll be having a good time anyways. You'll want to tune in for that right here on WCRS 1450 AM. But today, we are going to be talking with Chris Burris, who is now the head of sexual trauma over there. They just had a nice event last week at the Country Club. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you here. And it's also nice to be able to say congratulations of taking over from Martha Pasterna, who had worked there years and years and years and years.
Well, thank you. It is a pleasure and honor for me to be able to accept that role. And so, you know, she did an excellent job starting the agency, getting it to where it is today. And so it is definitely my goal to make sure that we are able to sustain and continue to provide services in our three-county service area.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you did with your event last week. I know we contributed, and I happen to have sized that ring for that lucky person.
Well, thank you for your contribution. Well, last week we were able to have a women's and children's accessory sale and auction, and it was a wonderful event. You know, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and it was one of those events that allowed us to kick off the month to bring awareness to the community. So we're out there, we're visible, people are aware that we are an organization that exists, but then also to raise money, which is much needed to continue to provide services to the victims of sexual violence and their families.
But it was also have fun.
Exactly. It was a wonderful event at Greenwood Country Club Tuesday of last week, 4 to 8. We had great participation. People enjoyed themselves. They purchased items. They had fun during the silent auction. We thank you for your gift. It was a huge hit within the silent auction, so thank you.
Absolutely. Now, how much money did you end up raising, Chris?
We raised about $2,900, and I think women and the men that came out really enjoyed spending their money. It was a great cause.
That's excellent. And so, you started doing a lot of, what shall I say, fun events. Over the last couple of years, y'all have really gone out and tried to do some stuff to bring awareness to the community, but also have a good time.
Yes, definitely. You know, I think the biggest thing is we want to make things interesting for the people participating as we're increasing awareness about our organization, about sexual violence within the community. So it's important our board of directors, our development committee, they focus on activities that can be fun, they can be family friendly, that will engage individuals in our community, but also, like I said, increase the awareness, which is so important.
Absolutely. Now, President Obama has made April National Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. That's a short title, isn't it?
We just call it SAM. Sexual
Sam,
Assault Awareness
Month. I like that, SAM. Okay.
Yes, it's huge. It's something that we recognize each year during the month of April for Sexual Trauma and Counseling Center. You know, we provide services in Abbeville, Greenwood, and Lawrence counties. So it's a big deal for us to make sure that everyone in our community is aware of our organization, the risk of sexual violence, the effects of sexual violence, and what we can do to hopefully eliminate it, but definitely reduce the incidence of sexual violence within our community.
I know one time I talked to Martha Pasterno, and she said nothing would make her happier than to have to close your doors because there was no client.
Well, that would be what would make us happy, and that's definitely our vision, but unfortunately we're not there yet. We're working extremely hard. One of the things that I'm very proud of about our organization is that we have two education individuals who work in our education department, an education specialist who works with the 12th grader and under population, and someone on the college campuses. And last year alone, they were able to see over 12,000 individuals with their educational programs. And that was about 586 sessions. So we're very proud of the work that we're doing to make sure that we're providing information to everyone within the community.
Absolutely. Now, you know, one of the things, though, you know, we talk about, I know there's all kinds of programs for little kids, Stranger Danger and all these type of things. But then again, when you look at our society, it is sad that we have to go with these type of programs, I personally think. I think to see a child out riding a bike in my neighborhood and to say hello when they just don't even look at you, you know, I think that's sad from that standpoint.
It is a sad situation that we're in. I definitely can remember playing freely when I was growing up, but I think it's so important because we have to make sure our children are aware. As adults, you know, we can't make them responsible, but we also have to be aware of the fact that 85% of perpetrators are known by their victim. So it's not even about stranger danger anymore. It's about educating our children to be safe around whomever they're with. It's about safety in numbers. You know, even making sure as an adult that there's more than one adult with children. It's about making sure children know to travel in numbers. It's about them being aware of their right to say no, their right to be safe, their right to tell someone. So although it's an unfortunate situation, it is wonderful that we're out there promoting safety and making sure children are aware what their rights are.
Yeah, but it just makes you feel sad that, you know, when you think back, when, like you said, when you were growing up, and you saw somebody on the street, you said hello.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sad from that standpoint. But what are some of the things that you've got a lot of great programs that we're going to be talking about some. We're going to be talking also about your upcoming restaurants have gotten involved. This is going to be a good thing.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited about this. Just our like I said, the development committee is just very enthusiastic. They're hard workers. And the fact that they were able to go out, and I think we have 10 restaurants now that are committed to donating part of their proceeds to Sexual Trauma and Counseling Center, a certain percentage each night that they participate. But it also increases that awareness. I cannot stress enough how important it is for us to have our name in the community, for people to be aware that this is a real issue in our community. And so to have the support of the local restaurants is huge.
Absolutely. Well, we are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. We are going to hear a word from our sponsors, and when we come back, we've got more to talk about. I'm also going to check the weather for you and see what the price of gold did today. So don't you go away. You're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. We'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Right, we're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, we have been so busy today, I guess because a lot of people have been off today, but gosh, we have bought a tremendous amount of gold. Price of gold went up today. Right now, gold is at $1,641.90, so that's almost $1,642. That certainly is up over Friday's $1,631. Silver right now is almost $31.68, so very close to that $32 mark. If you've got it to sell, there's only one place to come. That's Sharp Facets Gallery. Why do I say that? Because we buy the diamonds, we buy the gold, we look at the condition. Bring me something in great condition, you're going to get more for it than if it's just gold. Bring us something that's scrap, though, and has diamonds or whatever, you're still going to get more. I'll buy the diamonds, too. So make sure you come see us right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Got a question? Give us a call, 229-6613. Well, this certainly has been a beautiful day. I tell you what, Chris, you were off today, weren't you?
I was.
Yes, you lucky dog. 76 degrees and sunshine out there today.
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
Oh, gosh, well, wouldn't it be great if we just had this kind of weather all year long?
Year-round, I'll take it.
Oh, my God. But what are we looking for tonight? Well, tonight we are looking for mainly clear skies, a low of 49 degrees. Tomorrow, more sunshine, high of 79. And tomorrow night, mainly clear, 44 degrees. So as you're on your way home, or maybe you're still in the office finishing up some things, we're talking with Chris Burris, who is the director over there at Sexual Trauma. And I tell you what, there are so many issues, and I can't believe how much in the news, just even bullying, which, of course, bullying can lead to sexual issues, but the bullying.
Yes. You know, I think one of the biggest things for us is that we talk about healthy relationships. We don't just focus on sexual violence, rape, incest. We look at the entire dynamics of healthy relationships and what's required to have a healthy relationship. And bullying plays an important part of that. Our education specialist really offers a lot of programs dealing with bullying, healthy relationships, interpersonal violence, and making sure people are aware of what they need to expect in order to be safe in a relationship. Bullying is a real issue, and it's something that I think everyone needs to be aware of.
Well, you know, we used to think of bullying just walking down the street, in the class, maybe at school and everything. But now with the Internet, that's become a huge issue, too.
It has. You know, it's expanding just beyond the face-to-face, in-person types of attacks. It is now about the computer. It's about social media, people posting pictures. They post words that are hurtful and hateful. So, I mean, you know, it's wherever you go. I mean, it's if you think about cell phones and the ability to text, email, blogging. So there are a lot of issues that can come from bullying and you know, people not being mindful of what they say, and the fact that once it's out there, it really spreads quickly, and it's very hurtful.
And you can't call it back.
You really can't. People think they can, and they think if I delete it, it goes away, but it stays out there, and, you know, once one person has it, they can send it to whomever else they choose to send it to, and it's a very hurtful act. And so, you know, it's once again, it's one of those issues that we at Sexual Trauma and Counseling Center really want to work hard to bring awareness to and decrease the risk of youth or anyone being bullied or harmed in any way.
It seems like bullying has gotten bigger. I mean, I remember in school, everybody knew who the schoolroom bully was.
Yes.
And you dealt with it, though. It wasn't an issue. But now it seems like everything that you read and everything that you see is that we have bullying coming from a lot of different angles.
I think, you know, again, if we talk about cyberbullying and the Internet, there is some sense of, I guess, protection if you're sitting at home in your bedroom and you're writing something on the Internet. I think maybe
you
some
think
people
you're anonymous?
Sometimes people think that just because we have a screen name or we're just putting it out there, we're not really saying it, we're not actually hitting someone, that maybe it's not as harmful. But it is. It's just as harmful as if you were saying it out loud or if you were actually touching someone and hitting someone. It's just as harmful. It's very hurtful to the person that you're attacking.
Sure. They have, I remember a couple of years ago, I remember they did a study where they put these, I think they were 12 to 15-year-olds in a room, and they were putting stuff on the Internet, and they had no idea how hurtful it was to the person that they were, I'll use the word, attacking,
yes,
even though it was just verbal stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have counseling at our agency, and we see all dynamics. We see where someone is violated on their physical being, but then we also look at when someone uses words and how hurtful that can be. And sometimes that is much harder to get over because it becomes a mental thing for that person. They can start to believe what they're reading and internalize those things and start to feel that they're not worthless. I mean, that they're worthless or that they are not worthy of love or appreciation. And so, you know, it is very hurtful, and it makes it very hard for someone to recover from those things.
You know, one of the things that I heard the other day that just blew me away, one of those figures that just blows you away, is that, you know, when you're 16, getting that driver's license permit is the thing in your life. You are focused on that beyond anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not today. They came out with some new statistics, and I don't have the statistics, but evidently 16-year-olds are saying, We've got social media. We can catch up with our friends anywhere. We don't need to get in that car and go. What do you think about that, Chris?
Well, good.
You have a 13-year-old sitting right here in the room. Do you think that's true? We just had this conversation.
Well, my 13-year-old is excited about the day she can get her driver's license, so in my household it's not necessarily true yet. I can say for the parents, I'm thankful that their insurance will not go up. I think it's great that they will not have to worry about their children driving around and their safety. Exactly. However, it does not necessarily protect the children. And again, I you know, not to continue to say this, but internet safety is huge. So whether your child is in a car, they're on a computer or on a cell phone or the iPad or the iPod, you still have to think about their safety, and there still needs to be rules and regulations surrounding, you know, when do you
even
get
teenagers,
on.
Teenagers. You know, we always talk about young ones on
yes,
that type of issue.
Even teenagers, you know, you want to know what they're doing. Maybe you want to have some.
Maybe you don't want to know what they're doing.
Even more reason to know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, you want to make sure that you have those rules and you have those discussions about what's appropriate, you know, as far as pictures, what to write, what you're looking at, all of those things are important. So it's just about having those open and honest discussions with your children, whether they're little or they're teenagers. I mean, it's communication is the key.
I know communication is the key, but I know a lot of adults have a problem trying to communicate with these kids today.
Maybe they could text it.
Maybe they could and they would understand it. You know, I think one of the hardest things to see is to see a table of kids sitting there with their iPads and this type of thing or their phones and texting and nobody's having a conversation.
Yeah.
That makes it tough.
Well, I was going to say that's their way of communicating. You know, we like to be verbal. I know I enjoy it. I still enjoy a wonderful conversation. But
how you doing? Your daughter's on her iPod over there.
I know. I have her turn it off. When it's mommy-daughter time, it's time to turn it off.
I know you said to her, well, I'll just tell this little story. You said, don't you want to turn that off while I'm on the radio today?
She's still listening to that.
Oh, my God, she might actually take it. Oh, no, I guess not. She's not going to take it out of her ears.
Yeah, but she hears us.
Yeah.
I have discovered she hears almost everything.
So when you think they're not listening, they really are.
They really are.
Well, you know, I think that there are so many different things that you all do there. We should go over just some of the different programs because I think a lot of people don't know the type of programs that you all have at sexual trauma. I think when you first think sexual trauma, you're thinking just the really horrible bad stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, we deal with an array. You know, it can be from one end of the spectrum to the other. But it was 1992 when Martha Pastrana became the first executive director, and she really started with trying to be the volunteer, trying to be the educator, trying to be the counselor. She was all of those things. Since then, we have a staff of, I think, about 15 or 16. I always lose count. I should do better with that one.
As a director, yes.
Yeah. But we have definitely grown in number, and we are able to offer counseling services. We have 4 counselors on staff that are able to see the victims themselves and their family members, and so that's huge. And we use evidence-based treatment, and what that really means is that we use treatment that has been studied, it's been reviewed, and it's been proven to work. It's effective, and that's called cognitive behavioral therapy with our victims and their families. We have education programs, which I mentioned before, where we go into the schools, the colleges, daycares, churches, civic organizations, businesses, wherever people will welcome us, to educate individuals on the risk of sexual violence, on the laws, the statistics, how they can reduce their chances of being victimized. We have a self-defense course that's called Rape Aggression Defense that's being offered. So there are a number of things, interpersonal violence, healthy relationships, bullying, date rape drugs that we can discuss in those programs. We have victim advocacy where we respond to the emergency department if there's a victim in the emergency department. We can accompany them to law enforcement if needed. We have specialized children's services, which is the Child's Place, which is an accredited child advocacy center, where we have forensic interviews for people who are children who are referred by law enforcement or DSS. Those children can have medical exams on site if it's needed or if it's recommended. Again, they can have counseling services there on site. We have family advocacy where we work with the caregivers to figure out what their needs are beyond, you know, dealing with the sexual assault itself. Maybe they need other resources so they can start the healing process. So we have an array of services.
And we certainly have grown. And when we come back after South Carolina news, we're going to talk more about this. Hey, if you want to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're here with Chris Burris. Don't you go away.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk Radio Station.
That's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass, talking with Chris Burris, who is now the Executive Director of Sexual Trauma over there. Of course, we're talking about the fact that just a lot of awareness makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It really does. It makes a huge difference. And, you know, we really look at primary prevention. You know, we want to change the attitudes of individuals before the crime can even be committed. You know, so we really want to increase awareness, make sure people are aware of our services, that they can come to us for help, they can come to us for education, that we're here and that we exist and, you know, we want to serve the community.
I know that we talked in the past before there was this service here. It was something that it was kind of that under the surface, nobody talked about it.
Exactly. I think in 1977 is when the first group of volunteers actually started responding to the emergency department. So you think from 1977 to 1992, it was just a group of individuals who said, you know, we want to do this, we're going to volunteer, we'll make this happen, and we'll go to the emergency department if there's someone there who needs our assistance. So it wasn't huge in the news. It wasn't something that was being discussed on a regular basis. But we definitely have made a lot of progress as far as making sure people are aware. It's in the media, there's information, there's awareness, there are books, there are videos. So the information's there. We just want to make sure people have access to it and that they can use it.
You know, and I think the thing we always think about that it's women.
Yes.
You know, it's always women. But that's not actually the whole story, is it, Chris?
No, it's not the whole story. We do see men, and we know that men are victims. It's 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men who can be victims before the age of 18. So, you know, that's a high number. I know at our agency we work with men and we work with boys, and it's a reality. It's just not women who are being victimized. And so making sure that everyone is aware that it's not one type of person's problem. It's everyone's issue.
Absolutely. Now, you know, one of the things that gets me, though, is all the music videos and all you know, we seem to have so much sex in the media,
mm-hmm.
Chris. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have it on TV. We have it on the Internet. There just seems to be this explosion.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, that's one of the things that we focus on. At a state level, a local level, we look at the media and how it affects individuals and how it can, you know, it definitely is not the direct cause of violence. We know it's about power and control, but it doesn't help it. You know, when you look at the media and you see these types of images or you see violence, sometimes it makes it seem as if those things are okay. And so we want to come in with the other side of that story, and we
sure.
want to make dispel those myths and make sure people actually have facts about, again, what is okay and what is healthy and what is reality and, you know, what we would like to see our young people and our adults, you know, displaying as far as positive behaviors.
You know, the other night, Mike Wallace, his father, died. And you saw some of the old videos of him being on TV. And what was the one thing that he had in his hand that today just doesn't happen?
What?
A cigarette.
I was going to say that.
You know, and
yeah.
you just go, that was such a
yeah.
cool image, right?
Yeah.
To be a smoker. To
yeah.
And they glamorized that in the movies and mm-hmm. on TV and everything. it kind of seems like in some aspects, and our kids just seem to be getting involved in sex earlier and earlier.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it's media, it's what's seen, it's in the music. I think a lot of what we see as an organization is just more making sure it, again, it's about education. We talked about being able to communicate, having conversations. You know, not just us as an organization, not just the school, but we talk about families. I know there's a nonprofit organization and here in Greenwood, and I think, gosh, it's usually during the spring part of the year that they encourage families to actually talk and get together and, you know, spend that time.
Night at home,
eat dinner at home.
Yes, and actually talk like the old days.
And have a conversation, yes. So, I mean, it's very important that we make these discussions a part of our everyday life and that we're talking and communicating.
But it's hard with everybody going in all the different directions that they're going, isn't it?
It's hard, but it's definitely worth it if you just take the time to do it. You have to, if you value your safety, your children, and the people around you, then it's important to take that time to have the discussion.
Don't you think part of what we're dealing with, too, is the changing roles of parenting? Mm-hmm. Meaning it's not just the mom that's responsible for this and the dad. Back in the day when you and I were growing up, mom did this and dad did this.
Yeah, the gender stereotypes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And I think that that's affecting some of what's happening. We have plenty of dads that are stay-at-home dads, mm-hmm. and moms are out working and mm-hmm. climbing the corporate ladder now.
Well, those can be positive things as well, you
Absolutely,
know, just breaking those stereotypes. And but again, I think you have to look at it as a unit. It's not one parent's responsibility. It's a team effort. It's a partnership. Being able to take that approach, if it's a single-family home, then it's that parent's responsibility, but then also creating a network or a support system that's surrounding you to make sure that you have that support and that information, and you're able to share that with the people that are important to you in your life.
Have you seen any change based on the fact of the economy? I mean, people get stressed and things happen.
You know, with our organization, we have not seen that direct effect because of the economy. What we know about sexual violence is that a lot of people do not report as soon as it happens. If we look at children, most children have delayed disclosure, meaning they wait months, sometimes years, before they disclose. Again, because that's someone they know. It's someone that's close to their family. It could be a family member. So what we see is that a lot of times kids wait before they disclose. So to be able to say that something is directly affected by the economy, we don't have that ability to say this is happening.
You may look back 5 years from now and say
5 years from now is like, oh, we had this increase and what was going on at that time. But at this moment, you can't make that direct correlation between the economy and sexual violence.
It is amazing that we have people that wait that long. And that has to do not only with children, but I think even women. I mean, look at the Sandusky case going on right now.
Yeah, you think about just the stigma that comes along with sexual violence. You know, I love the fact that it's in the media, that we're talking about it, that we can have these discussions. You have me here today, and that's important. But there's still a negative stigma that is associated with sexual violence and coming forward, and there's a lot of blame that's placed on the victim. Whether you're an adult or you're a child, people can blame you and ask questions about what did you not do or why didn't you do this certain thing or where were you or why didn't you go home. So it makes it hard for people to want to come forward and feel safe with coming forward.
Absolutely. Well, we just had a call in. Makita, I hope I'm saying that right, Williams. The Target videos for young black children promote an aura that is hard to counter. She is fed up along with most parents she deals with. Young women are not pleasure vessels. Great show and needs to let others get some of this information out of the videos. What do you say, Chris?
I agree. You know, it is true. I mean, unfortunately, that seems to be what's popular. That seems to be what's happening is making sure that people and women are the hottest things in videos, and that's what people are, promoting.
Well, we even have our sexualization of our children. I mean, look at them wearing makeup and heels at 5 and 6 years of age.
But, I think it's people, and what was her name, Makita? It's people like Makita or Mrs. Wims that, you know, make the difference, who are fed up, who have a voice. And it's important that when you see an issue, when you feel passionate about something, is that we use our voice and we make it known, and that we take a stand for our children. You know, she can't reach everyone, I can't reach everyone, but the few people that we can, it's important that we do.
Absolutely. Well, listen, hey, you stay tuned. We're going to hear a word from our great sponsors right here on WCRS. This is Meet Me at the Diner at its new time, 4 to 5, right here on WCRS. Hey, if you've got a question for Chris, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
These days are
gold dust at my feet.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday,
Monday. That's right. We're back here. Yes, it's Meet Me at the Diner, 4 to 5 now. You'll be able to hear us every day right here on WCRS. And coming up this Friday, giveaway Friday, you'll be here listening, having a good time. I'm going to have super prize packs for our first giveaway Friday on WCRS, 1450 AM. By the way, don't forget, you can always hear us on the internet at WLMA.net. Click on WCRS, we'll come in loud and clear. Well, we just had another call. This video thing is a hot topic here now, Chris. Bill Montgomery said he would love to see a way to stop what his sons see as acceptable actions. He said his 10-year-old came home and referred to his sister as the house bitch.
Yeah.
Now, that's hurtful.
And that is very hurtful, and that's very harsh. You know, again, it goes back to that conversation. And I think, you know, Bill should be proud of himself for recognizing that it is an issue and addressing that with his son, which I'm sure he did, because he wouldn't be sharing that with us if, you know, if he didn't see it as an issue within his household and making sure his son is, you know, has the right information and the right knowledge and understands what respect is. You know, the way Bill has addressed it, I'm sure, within his household is the way that I think everyone would have to address it. You know, sometimes you have to run the risk of being that hard parent and saying to him what...
Or being the parent,
yeah,
period.
Or being the parent.
Yeah.
And making sure your kids know what's acceptable, what the rules are in your house, and what you expect of them. It's not okay. Again, it goes back to bullying, the name-calling, the stereotyping, and... In just making sure that we have a voice and that we're sharing all of this with our children.
You know, one of the things that I do like that you're seeing a lot of PSAs on TV about please and thank you.
Yes.
You know, some of these, and the guy that knocks the books out of the boy's hands, mm-hmm. and the athlete goes over there and helps him pick it up.
Yeah.
Character.
Yes, character. It's huge.
It is.
It's in our schools, too. I mean, I think that's one of the things I remember when my daughter was in elementary school. It was the character, I think they had the character word of the month, and you got to bring it home and you were recognized, you know, for whatever characteristic that you had or the teacher saw in you. So I think it's there. It's just that we really have to fight, you know, a lot harder now to make sure our kids, and not even just the kids, even as adults, that we remember these things about respecting ourselves and respecting others.
Absolutely. Well, it's a tough time, and it is a tough time for parents right now because they are out there. And, you know, one of the things I think we always pride ourselves in as parents is being able to give them everything we can.
Yeah.
And in this economic time frame, we're not able to do those things. So that makes it extra tough.
Yeah, it does. When you can't give them the materialistic things, you give them love, you give them your time, you have conversations, you can play board games, you can play card games, you can play hopscotch. I mean, you know, you have to get creative.
Yeah, I think that's great, but I think inside it hurts a lot of parents not to be able to do those things, and it's hard to swallow and say, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, but I think you have to get creative. You know, there's a lot of creative ways to be able to give to your children. And I think, you know, again, it's what they see now. They will value those things when they grow up.
Well, I think one of the things, you know, when you look back to your childhood growing up, sometimes it's that personal time or, mm-hmm. you know, the things like your dad said to you, yes, and, you know, when you wear contacts, you look so much more beautiful. And I look at him and I said, thanks, Daddy. I'll remember that till the day I die, Dad. But, yeah, it's yeah. that personal time, whether it's a conversation you want to have or not.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very important.
It is important. So what's the answer for parents today to be trying to help with all this bombardment that we're getting, not only from the media, commercials, all this kind of stuff is out there. And let's see, let me read. What do you say to that, Chris? I mean, you got to be able to deal with it.
You know, I think as parents, we need a support system. You can't go it alone. So whether it's your spouse, your parent, your sibling, a friend, whomever, church member, whatever, you also need a support system, and you need to have people that you can rely on, and you need solid information. So it's just about we have to arm ourselves as adults with knowledge and information and facts, so that we can share those with our kids in setting those boundaries and doing all of those things. You know, I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir.
You probably are.
I think your listeners are probably aware of all these things already, but, you know, it's always important to hear again, and also just knowing that our services are available if people need us and that we do have these educational programs that we would love to offer.
Now, and of course, you are available for church groups, civic groups, not just in the schools, but all different
aspects. All different aspects, venues, day and night. We work flexible schedules, and so if they give our agency a call at 864-227-1623, they can ask us about programs, and a lot of times we're able to cater and adapt our programs to fit the needs of the organization.
I thought you were going to tell me you were catering, and I was going to say, let me call you up, Chris.
You don't want me to cook.
All right. So you can tailor a program around the time.
Yeah, we can.
And that's very important. And that's 227-1263. We are talking with Sexual Trauma and Counseling Services. Actually, number two is as important as number one, counseling services.
Yes.
And I presume you probably have a lot of information that you can give out if somebody is looking to be able to read, or do y'all have a website?
We do have a website. It's www.sexualtraumacenter.org. We do have information on there. We also have materials at our office. We have brochures. We have books. We have workbooks. We have a lot of different information that we're able to share if people are interested. And again, they can call us 227-1623.
Absolutely. So we got another call coming in here. Okay, she's an ex-teacher at Brewer, Maddie Hopkins. Don't you think that accepting bad language is the first step to bad actions? Her daughter says everyone does, and it's a black thing. When did this happen? Her grands have terrible language, but not around her. What do you have to say, Chris?
I think that's peer pressure, and apparently they don't believe that it's okay because they don't have that terrible language around her. So she's doing something right. So they know that it's not appropriate. They know that it's not okay, because if they thought it was okay, I think that they would continue to say it regardless of whomever they were around. So I think it's a lot to do with peer pressure, and again, a lot to do with the image of what is cool. I am not an expert on profanity and languages by any means, but I do think when you think about this,
bad language is the first step to bad action.
I guess it could be a gateway,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just like a lot of other things could be a gateway. But you know, bad language doesn't necessarily mean that they're doomed to have negative behaviors either. But I think it's important to know that, you know, if they're not doing it all the time, they recognize that it's not okay.
Yes, that double standard, maybe.
Yeah, so they definitely recognize that it's not okay, and so that's important to note.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you've got, we only have a few minutes left, but we did want to talk about the restaurants and the date.
Yes.
So that if you'd like to write this down and go to that restaurant on that date, you would be helping sexual trauma and counseling services right here in Greenwood.
Yes, definitely. We have coming up tomorrow, actually starts our first one, Coralie's Market and Grill. They're going to be giving us 50% from the grill, so please go out
here. 50%? Cool.
Right. Please go out and enjoy their meal. That's Coralie's Market and Grill. On April 12th, we have T.W. Boone's. That's 10%.
Is that for lunch and dinner all day or just one meal?
From what they shared with me was pretty much all day from the grill, so we're excited about that. T.W. Boone's is April 12th. Capri's Italian Restaurant is April 17th.
And what are they doing, do you know?
T.W. Boone's and Capri's are doing 10%.
That's
and
great.
It doesn't have a time limit to it. At least they haven't told us.
So any time on that day.
Any time on that day is what I've been given. Moe's is April 18th. Now, there is a time limit on Moe's. It's from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., but they're giving 20%.
Wow.
The Village Grill, which is in Abbeville,
mm-hmm.
is on April 19th, and we don't have the percentage as of yet, but that's okay. We know that they've made a commitment. Ruby Tuesday is April 20th, and that's 20%. Pizza Inn is April 23rd from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 10%. Fin and Filet is April 25th, and we're still working on the percentage there. And R3, which is in Uptown,
mm-hmm.
is on April 27th at 10%, and just added is Dixie Drive-In, so we're still waiting on the date and percentage for that, but Dixie Drive-In will be also a part of that. What people have to remember, and this is very important, is to please mention that you're dining for Sexual Trauma and Counseling Center, so they'll make sure to give us a certain percentage of their sales ticket, so we're excited about it.
Well, if you leave me that sheet there, I'll be sure to mention it. So when people are thinking about where they're going to eat, they can certainly mention
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And you never know, I might be there.
Okay.
I'm sure I will. I'm going to do my best to get to each one of them. So I'm excited, and I think it's just a wonderful opportunity. So
it is a wonderful opportunity. And here's where you're going to eat somewhere anyway. You might as well eat at a place that's supporting sexual trauma and counseling services.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Ann.
Well, thank you for coming out today. If you want to give them a call them 227-1263. That's 227-1263. We've had Chris Burris here, and you have been listening to Meet Me at the Diner right here on WCRS 1450 AM in Greenwood. We are going to start Happy Hour tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow, my very special guest, Phil Biffle, will be on from 4 to 5, and then from 5 to 6, it'll be Happy Hour with Ann. So make sure you tune in, and don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning right here on WCRS for the I Love Ann Show. We are working fast and furious on getting all these new programs. Sports Talk may be on tonight. It may not, but hopefully by tomorrow it will be. And, of course, a lot of great programming working on it right now. So you stay tuned right here on WCRS. News is up, then we'll have a little timeless cool today. But you better be ready, because I'll be ready right here on WCRS for Happy Hour with Ann. What do you think? Bye-bye, everybody.